Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Willis Carto, the founder of the American Free Press and the founder of the Barnes Review, and in low these last however many decades, one of the most significant figures in the history of the American populist nationalist movement. We have a caller for Willis, and that is Jeff from Vermont. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I was just saying that, solutions, I read your paper a lot, and I this is just a suggestion. I think you guys should have like a section in your paper where people can contact each other and do activism and do something to fight this octopus or whatever you want to call it in society today. And we have to go back to our roots, you know. And you look at all this stuff going on in society today. You almost look at it as you're defeated because they've done everything. These people in government today are very smart. They did what they had to do. They control our courts. They control our schools. They control our legislators. They control almost every aspect of society today. And they did it with their own two feet. They sacrificed. They did what they had to do. And we just have to counteract these people. And I don't like the society we live in today. And I think if a lot of people realize what's really going on here, they will agree with us. And I can't emphasize that, and I try to preach your paper, and I try to tell people the websites, RBN, and you just, you know, and you're right, with only 4% of the people are going to even want to know about this. And it's just, we have to get to the 4%, or hopefully it'll be 10%, and it's just we have to do something.
Well, you're right, Jeff. I think there's no question about it. We are going to get more and more volunteers and supporters as we go on and as the country continues to go down the tubes. There's no doubt about it. Victor Ostrovsky was in the Mossad, and he spoke at a conference we had about 3 years ago here in Washington. He wrote a book called By Way of Deception, and that, by the way, is part of the motto of the Mossad. By way of deception, we shall do war. That's the motto of the Mossad. And Ostrovsky is he literally came out of the Mossad. He's still alive too, and he's living in seclusion. You can't get to him anymore, and he's out of the picture completely, growing flowers or something, trying to stay alive. He pointed out the power of the Israeli lobby, and it's something that no other country can approach. It's just omnipresent. It's everywhere. You have organized Zionist groups like the Anti-Defamation League, which I mentioned, and the various Jewish organizations, and all of these groups are tied together by the Mossad. Then you have many. The Mossad has an asset that no other country can even approach, and every Jewish person who is known as a Zionist, and of course there's many Jews who are just as anti-Zionist as you and I, but every Jew is considered a Sayan, S-A-Y-A-N, and they can always be called up for service to do favors for the Mossad. I hear your music going, so we're going to have...
Yes, let's continue with that thought, Willis, and your conversation with Jeff when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Willis Carto, the founder of the Barnes Review, the founder of the American Free Press, and arguably the most influential person in the last 50 or 60 years in the American populist movement, characterizing what was the real American right, not the current variety of post-World War II Bill Buckley typology, but the real American right, going back to an isolationist foreign policy, going back to nationalism, going back to a series of things that the old right needs to recover again. Willis, in talking with Jeff, you were making reference to something called a scion or a seon. Go ahead, sir.
So I was referring to Viktor Ostrovsky, former Mossad member who spoke at one of our conferences, and in his book, which is called By Way of Deception, which I don't think is in print anymore. I think he printed one, he authorized one printing, and then he got out of town in a hurry. But he refers to this, that the Mossad is covers the United States like a blanket, They direct the activities of the Anti-Defamation League and the other Jewish Zionist organizations. I want to stress that we're Zionist because there are many Jews who are anti-Zionist, and incidentally, it looks like Israel is just about falling apart internally. They can't get along with each other, and there are a lot of anti-Zionists in Israel. Anyway, the Mossad is certainly Zionist, and they can they not only have the organized Zionist organizations, but they can call on millions of Zionist Jews in the United States, whom they call Sayan, Sayans, and to do anything they want to do. And this is very important because the Zionist movement is political, and they have unlimited money at their beck and call. Of course, the press dutifully supports political Zionism in anything they want. By the press, I mean every newspaper in the United States, except some small ones like the American Free Press. Certainly, all of the big dailies, all your Time, Newsweek, and of course your church groups. You got fellows like Tim LaHaye and Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and so on and so forth. They're committed Zionists. They'll do anything that they're asked to do by their overlords. And so all this put together makes political Zionism the most potent, the most powerful pressure group by far than anything else in the country.
Jeff, did you have any further follow-up comment or question for Mr. Carto?
You definitely explained it. Victor Ostrowski's got another book called On the Other Side of Deception, which is really good, too. And I think the guy is a patriot for coming out and talking about that, because that wouldn't have been common knowledge for the people of this country to know about, you know, the deception they really pull off. And I think Winston Churchill, I don't know what you feel about him, but he said in 1936, he said they were more scared of the Bolshevik Revolution than the Zionists at that time. And he said that world Jewry's soul is being ripped apart by Bolshevism and Zionism, and whichever of those prevail will rule the world. That's what Churchill said. And in my opinion, I think Bolshevism and Zionism actually merged, and that's what we have today. And that's my opinion about it. There's a lot of information out there to read and digest, and you know, we just have to be smarter than these people, and they definitely have the money and the power to do whatever they want, and we just have to be strong in numbers. So that's about the only thing we can do.
I think Jeff corrected me. I think the book by Victor Ostrowski is The Other Side of Deception, and not by way of deception. I want to thank you for that, Jeff. As far as Winston Churchill, he was the biggest blowhard phony in British history, and believe me, they've had plenty of them. What Churchill said and what he did are two different things. Churchill was interested only in war and killing people. He loved blood. He loved war. He had a talent of making putting nice words together. He was a political animal, but as a matter of fact, Hitler said of Churchill that Churchill is a great speaker, but he is destroying England. England's empire is no more. And if Churchill knew that, he certainly never recognized it. And the rest of the British people and newspaper and politicians followed obediently behind. And, of course, the British Empire is dead as a doornail thanks to their needless participation, thanks to the declaration of war on Germany in 1944, was it? 45. Or, no, not 45, 43 maybe. Neither Hitler nor the Kaiser wanted war. Both of them were doing everything possible to stay out of war. As a matter of fact, Hitler admired the British Empire, and he did everything possible to stop the war, even to letting more than 100,000 British soldiers escape Dunkirk in the beginning in France at the beginning of the war. He could have destroyed them. He didn't. He didn't take them. He didn't kill them because he thought that by doing so, that would make the British public want to have revenge. And he wanted peace with Britain. But of course, Britain and the people that run Britain, the bankers, the Jewish bankers, didn't want that.
Yeah, and you're right. That's 100% right. Thank you, guys.
Jeff, thank you very much, sir. Mr. Cardo, talking about this whole business of the Anti-Defamation League, then, which has come up a couple of times in the last hour of conversation. I notice predictably that they have a very extensive file on you that appears online, and among many other things, there's this rather libelous statement here at the conclusion of the first paragraph, which says that Willis Carto's energy for purveying paranoia and hatred appears to be undiminished. Now, of course, we can evaluate that obviously in terms of the source that said it, and I think the listeners understand that. But respond to that sort of nonsense, if you
would. Well, before I respond to that sort of nonsense, I want to say, Mark, I really, really admire you and your program. I'm sure that you get good write-ups from the ADL as well. Listen, my enemies understand me better than my friends. This is what Francis Parker Yaki said. A big story there too. The ADL, I think, is right. And I've always tried to say what's true, what's documented. And a lot of people don't like it. And these people don't like what I have to say. And so that's their right to do so. But thank God, there's an increasing number of Americans that do understand what's going on.
Well, you know, I have said on this show before that I'm a relative newcomer to some of these realities. You can go back, as recently as 20-some-odd years ago in my biography, and I was still a mainstream conservative Republican activist and was pastoring a Lutheran church in Seattle at that time and occasionally doing some work on a Christian radio station in Seattle. And at one point, I was invited to an Anti-Defamation League gathering in that city. The regional director of the ADL in Seattle at that time, Marvin Stern, invited me to this luncheon. And he later showed me, and I've mentioned this on the air before, he later showed me a file that the ADL was circulating to their own regional offices from New York that dealt with Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. And I was such a neophyte at that time that I did not know Ted, did not know his background or what the National Prayer Network was. But as I was reading through this whole thing, and of course they had certain things deleted from the file that were blacked out, so I couldn't see the thing in its entirety. There were certain names and dates, presumably, that were inked out, so I didn't get the whole picture. But I began to have this real creepy feeling, which has been corroborated years later by Mike Piper and others who have proven that the ADL has this very extensive list of files that they keep on people. This whole business of the ADL keeping dossiers on Americans and utilizing these things for their own purposes, this is pretty scary stuff to me. What do you see as the implications of all of this?
Well, Mark, you're absolutely right. The Anti-Defamation League. You know, one of the things that got me into this many years ago, or supplied background, was a man by Major Williams of Santa Ana, and he published the Williams Intelligence Summary and a couple of little booklets. He is dead now. He published a book about a little booklet about the Anti-Defamation League. I still have a copy, as a matter of fact. Even at that time, the ADL was organized I believe he said 1,200 cities and towns across the United States of America.
We'll be back with Willis Carto. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for our conversation about the ADL. We'll be back.
employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Special guest today is Willis Cardo, founder of Barnes Review of the American Free Press, arguably the most influential figure in the last half century when it comes to the things relating to the American populist right. Willis, before the break, we were talking about the Anti-Defamation League a little bit. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, Mark. Have you interviewed Mark Glenn?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I know Mark reasonably well. I know all about his USS Liberty series going on with AFP right now. And Mark, as a matter of fact, comes on my show now as a regular on Fridays just to cover different things.
Terrific. Well, I should know that. That's fine, because he is a very unique figure. He is an original thinker, and I think his book, No Beauty in the Beast, is one of the best I've ever seen. He traces this thing back centuries, thousands of years back. He sees what's going on, and he sees that what we have today is just a replay of what was going on in the time of Jesus Christ. And he's taught me some things. I think this is very, very important for everybody to know. The Jewish thing is a tragedy. They've always been torn internally by the ones who wanted to by the Talmudists who accepted the portion of the Talmud that says that all Jews are supreme to everybody else and everybody else should be destroyed, and those who wanted to the more Orthodox who wanted to maintain a Jewish culture among the other cultures and not try to dominate the world. As you know, we had an Orthodox a rabbi of that type in this conference we had last year here in Washington, Dr. Weiss, Dovid Weiss, had an extremely interesting interchange with him and Mark Glenn and Mark Lane, a lawyer who also is Jewish, was a very liberal Jew. This is a tragedy of Judaism, and of course they always go too far. They always get overextended. They always stir up anti-Semitism, and when they do that, people don't differentiate between the two types of Jews that we can see are around us. And so they suffer. They don't suffer as much as they say they do. As you know, I hope, I'm sure you know, and most of your audience must be familiar, the Holocaust is a bunch of baloney. But they've collected well over $1 trillion out of propagation of this idea that 6 million Jews were exterminated by Hitler Germany. This simply is not true. There have been many books written about it, but you had to be very careful. For example, Germar Rudolph, Ernst Zundel, both are in jail, and David Irving was in jail for a while simply for saying that this is a lie. And for proving, Germar wrote a tremendous book, amazingly a prolific man, dissecting the Holocaust. Ernst Zundel has written about it as well. Both of them are in jail because they exercise freedom of speech, and they did it in Europe. Throughout Europe, there are laws making it illegal for anybody to doubt the Holocaust. Thank God we have something called the First Amendment in this country. We have a constitution, and you can say what you want. But if I were to go over to Germany, I know I'd be snapped up right away and put in a jail cell. But this is a problem we have, and people must acquaint themselves with this problem.
Well, just in terms of this issue as it relates to people like Zundel, you know, Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network keeps the rest of us informed, presumably, on this whole issue of hate crimes and hate crimes legislation that, once again, is trying to wind its way through the United States Congress. As near as I can tell from having read Ted's news releases on this, these pieces of legislation, in many respects, would be an attempt to do many of the same things that have already been done in Europe in terms of criminalizing free speech. What do you think the prognosis is for the passage of this hate crimes legislation? And if it does come to pass, what do you think the implications of it are going to be, not only for the First Amendment generally, but for something like the American Free Press specifically?
Well, thank God for Ted Pike. He is doing a tremendous job. Thanks to you, thanks to American Free Press, thanks to many, many small disseminators of the truth in this country. I don't think it will happen. If it does, after the break, I'll expound on that if you'd like me to.
Very good, sir. That's where we'll pick it up when we come back. This is Mark Anthopson coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, back with Willis Carto, the founder of the American Free Press and the Barnes Review. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Willis Carto, the founder of the American Free Press and the Barnes Review. Willis, pick it up with where we were before the break. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Mark, I hate to tell you, I got distracted during the break, and I forget what I was talking about.
It happens to me.
I'm 80 years old.
Company. We were talking a little bit about the Anti-Defamation League, I guess.
Oh, yes. Yes. All right. I was just trying to explain the power of this Zionist lobby in this country. I think that they are rending their own carcass because the Zionists try to dominate the United States, the more Americans are going to wake up to it naturally, and pretty soon there's going to be a politician come along. It's going to offer to correct the thing if he's elected to office, and I think this is going to happen, not without a lot of trouble and violence. These people are pretty violent, as any Palestinian will tell you. Murder, mayhem comes very easily to them. You're dealing with a with an enemy. Let's face it, we're dealing with an enemy that has no scruples, will stop at nothing, and will accept nothing else but total victory over us.
Yes, and presumably, again, I think maybe this Iraq war is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, particularly if that's expanded into Iran with the utilization of tactical nuclear weapons, which certainly seems to be what this Khan Plan 8022 indicates, that Michael Chasudovsky has talked about at Global Research.
Mm-hmm.
And in conjunction with that, Dr. Chasudovsky has also mentioned a rather frightening development to me, and that is this whole business of yet another presidential directive, another national security presidential directive. This one is NSPD 35, which as near as anyone can tell is something that Mr. Bush has put his pen to, which basically provides apparent authorization for the deployment of nuclear weapons in Iran if deemed necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hard to believe that one has escaped the American news media, but once again, it has.
Let me tell you a little story. My mother, she was the most Christian, generous soul you could possibly meet, and there wasn't any Jewish bone in her body. She thought that the Jews wore bathrobes and traveled on donkeys bearing myrrh and incense. But she said to me one time, and I've never been able to figure it out. She says, she says the Jews always go too far. Now, how she knew that, I have no idea. But it must be part of the folk wisdom of this country, and that seems to be a characteristic. That's a historical characteristic, been going on for thousands of years. And so I think this is what's happening. People recognize that.
Yes. We have a caller from New York. Michael is on the line for Willis Carto. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just want to mention with the Zionist activity, you know, they're so ruthless, guys, that they actually killed their own Messiah. It was the Zionists that actually killed their own Messiah. They refused to recognize Jesus as their Messiah, and to this day they consider him lower than animal dung. So this is the kind of mentality we're dealing with. And I'll give you a personal experience. When I was a kid here in New York outside Millbrook, I was hired on a weekend to work as a laborer on a place called Camp Judea. And I was 18 years old and totally innocent to this kind of political intrigue. And first morning there, walking around, touring around the place, getting familiar with it, the kind of job assignments and stuff, and meeting the people that were running the camp. The people there, all apparently Jewish, and as I realized later on, Zionist types. They were very hostile to us. Good morning, how are you, as we're walking by, we would say. They would look at us like I'm telling you guys, I'm not exaggerating now. They looked at us like we were dirt. They wouldn't give us a time of day, let alone say hello. And then while we're working around the camp areas where it was a ball field, they're playing ball, guys and girls, and the ball roll over to us, and they would stand there with their arms folded looking at us with a very arrogant attitude, just waiting for us to throw the ball back without saying, could you get the ball or please toss it back? And being athletic, after the first time, I was getting so mad every time I roll over and seeing that attitude, I would fire that ball back, being a big ball player, and let them know what they're messing with. And they were just unbelievable, guys. And so it's all true. It's real. And these are the same guys that forced the Nazis to come up with that Jewish attitude. And today people don't appreciate what was it that the Nazis were able to use and to sway the general German public with this hatred towards Jews. Well, it was the Zionists that decimated them after World War One. Forced them into another depression, took everything from them after that war, and so when they brought up this animosity towards the Jews, it was the Zionist-based activity that prompted it all. Now, what's interesting is that Will, you're saying that the Holocaust wasn't really that severe. Of course, we've seen footage of concentration camps were poor victims. They looked, you know, they were so poorly treated. I mean, they were starving to death and all that. We know a lot of these people were Christians. Tell us, there's a few other points I want to make, but when you get a chance, tell us how what the numbers were probably for the Holocaust with the Jewish people. And of course, the whole World War II scenario was to, the Zionists were putting pressure on the regular common Jew people or regular people like us, and all in the designs, the grand designs to create a nation state. That's what the whole motive was all about for that war. We know that. Now, I also want to mention how, Will, you're right on the money regarding Britain as our real enemy. The Americans have to wake up and realize after the Revolutionary War, who did we go to war with shortly afterwards? The Brits again, because they invaded us and they actually burned our capital down, which was the first act of real terrorism on our shores, not 9/11. So this phony media never mentioning that really irked me back in 2001 as they covered all that. We had our capital burned down by those Brits. We went to war with them again. And then after that one, we had the Civil War. But who started the Civil War? It was the Brits. They backed the South. They were going to militarily support them, and they were prevented when the North allied to Russia. And since Russia had the largest Navy fleet in the world at the time, the Brits were intimidated by that, so they couldn't come to the physical aid of the South. But they were there. They had their military advisors there helping the Southerners and stuff, and a lot of Americans don't realize that. It's the Brits that are our real enemy, and they're not our allies in any way.
Mark, listen, I got to congratulate you. You have some of the most intelligent and articulate people I've ever heard. This young man, whoever, I forget his name, he is right on the money. And so what do I say?
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Will, could you tell us now, with Hitler not wanting to go after Britain, number one, could you tell us what finally prompted him to go after them and start bombing them? We know he was allies with the commies at first in Russia, but then he went after them. Now, that's understandable because there's only going to be one dictator in that hemisphere, and there won't be two. So they're rivals with each other, and eventually one of them is going to stab each other in the back. And also just tell us what you figure the actual numbers of the innocent Jews were that were in the concentration camps or murdered by those Nazis.
Okay, first of all, England declared war on Germany, and it wasn't vice versa. England started the shooting war. Hitler did not want war. He did everything possible to avoid it with Britain. What he wanted was to clean up communism in Russia for two reasons. Number one, he hated communism intellectually, and number two, he wanted to colonize part of the Soviet Union. And with the then overpopulation of Germany. As to your second question about the Jews, Hitler had the German government had an agreement, a literal formal agreement with the Zionists at the time, that the Zionists supported Hitler's policy. Hitler's policy was to get the Jews out of Germany. It wasn't to kill them, and he didn't kill them. He encouraged the Jews to immigrate to Israel, which of course is what the Zionists wanted. Now, as far as concentration camps and so on and so forth. Hitler put the German government put dissenters, communists, and anybody that was not helpful to or was trying to sabotage the war effort into concentration camps exactly the same way that Franklin Delano Roosevelt put the Japanese into concentration camps on the West Coast, except Roosevelt put all Japanese in a concentration camp. Hitler did not put all Jews in the concentration camp, only those who were trying to sabotage the war effort. As far as killing them, there simply was not a program to kill people. People in the camps, of course, they died, and they had to be and they had to be incinerated. And that's but there were no gas chambers to kill people in any of the concentration camps, including Auschwitz, including Belzec, and all the rest of them. Now, as far as the emaciated corpses and so on and so forth, well, of course, what would you expect? The American Air Force and the British Air Force were bombing Germany night and day. All of the railroads were destroyed. The railroad lines were rendered unusable. The highways were busted up. It made it impossible to feed everybody in Germany. Of the available food, of course, number one priority had to go to the German army and to the bureaucrats and to the government. The rest went to the population, and what was left over went to the prisoners in the concentration camps. They didn't get enough to eat, of course. But I want to tell you this. There were a lot more Germans killed after the war than during the war, and it was done by Dwight David Eisenhower and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And this is documented by authors such as John Sack and DeZayas, that Germans were put into open air pens by the millions. They weren't fed. They had no facilities to wash up or even to take to go to the toilet. And a million of them were starved to death in these open air pens by Eisenhower. This is the way the Germans were treated. There was the Morgenthau Plan, which was deliberately planned to starve all the Germans to death. This is history. Eisenhower killed more people in concentration camps than Hitler did by a long shot.
Well, that's stunning to hear. It's definitely would be a repetition of exactly how the Germans were treated after World War One. Then,
well, this is the way the British the British do things during the Boer War. That's as you know in South Africa, the Dutch settlers in South Africa went in there. They were highly religious, and they had a history of South Africa is much like the history of America. They used covered wagons, the same American as American settlers did, in order to go into the interior of South Africa. Then the British came because they discovered gold in South Africa, so the British wanted to take it over, and they came in and they had the Boer War, B-O-E-R War, and this is where concentration camps were invented. The first this is where the Boer means farmers, and the farmers went off to try with their rifles to try to stop the British invasion, and they had to leave their women and their children behind. So what the British do? The British come, and they put the women and children in the concentration camps in South Africa and starve them to death.
Wow. Now, if I may ask two other quick questions, because people listening will think, you know, you're pro, and we may all be pro-Nazi or sympathetic to them, and I'm definitely not, because they were fascists, and I know they were evil. I know they were into black magic, devil worshiping activities. So, number one, why did Hitler first be an ally to the commies then, just to set him up for the stab in the back? And number two, why didn't the Nazis use that advanced technologies that they had, like the jets? They already had a jet engine and jet craft in the early 40s, and even anti-gravity discs. And I know it's hard to believe for people that aren't aware of this, but I have great photos, plenty of them, and if you like, I'd be glad to email them to you so you could see them. And I'm curious why they never implemented them during the war.
Okay, well, it's, the I think the Germans did make mistakes. There's just no doubt about that as far as the military, the production of military weapons and so on and so forth. Hitler, one thing they could have done would have more long-range bombers to take out the oil in the southern Russian region and around Baku and so on and so forth. You know, there's always three versions of what happened. One is what you want to do, two is what you do, and number three is what you wish you'd done.
Right.
And every war always has unforeseen circumstances. Now, this is something we have to remember within the context of Iran. If Bush does go ahead and attacks Iran, as it looks like he's going to do, there will be horrible circumstances that are going to be that are unforeseen at this time. You also asked. I hear the music.
Yes, we'll be back with Willis Cardo to talk about unforeseen circumstances and unforeseen contingencies. This is Mark Danhoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Unintended Consequences with Willis Cardo. We'll be back.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Cord Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit corddocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
We're
we're back. This is Mark Antos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today has been Willis Carto of both the American Free Press and the Barnes Review. If you're interested in a subscription to AFP, you can dial 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. And avail yourself of the articles of Willis Carto, Mark Glenn, Michael Collins Piper, Mark Anderson, and the entire crew at AFP. I read it weekly, and I am not sorry that I became a subscriber 2 or 3 years ago and will continue to be one because of the absolutely essential information and analysis that is in the American Free Press as a complete contrast to what you're going to find, obviously, in corporate media. Willis, before the break, and I know you've only got a few more minutes with us before you need to get back to publishing your newspaper today, we were talking about the law of unintended consequences, that certain mistakes made by Germany in World War II had consequences. And then, of course, speaking of Mr. Bush's threats to attack Iran, that too will have unintended consequences. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Your caller asked an awfully interesting historical question in regard to Germany and the Soviet Union. And both Hitler and Stalin realized, and they both said so, that that together, allied together, they would be absolutely insuperable. Hitler didn't want to do that, though, because he did not want to fight Britain. He did not want to be an antagonist to Britain, which was a mistake because he just didn't realize that he had no chance of avoiding it. And Stalin realized that he could not ally himself with England because England, as the seat of international capitalism, runs directly athwart the theory of communism. Now, the facts are, as far as the war is concerned, then they realized, both of them realized that there would be a war. Communism, Marxist-Leninism, is aggressive. That's its whole point. It means to turn the whole world into a communist paradise, that's the thrust of it. So communism was aggressive. Stalin had eyes on Europe. He intended to take Europe militarily, and of course Hitler realized that this was the case. And at the border, then Stalin began to build up the Red Army in an offensive mode, and he had thousands and thousands of troops there, and tanks, and airplanes, and supplies, and so on, ready to give the word to advance. Hitler knew this, and so he was on the other side, building up the German army and the Allies in order to counter this, because he realized this was going to happen. On June the 22nd, I guess it was, Stalin was ready to go, and many writers such as Viktor Suvorov and I think even Zhukov has said that Stalin was ready to go in a week. Hitler beat him to the punch and captured about a million Russian soldiers at the time the war was on.
We'll be back for the last couple of minutes of our chat with Willis Carto of the American Free Press and the Barnes Review. This is Mark Antos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas.